Good to be here. God is good, and He is here this morning. Amen. You know, I just want to commend Pastor Scott. First of all, we're just an honor to be here with Scott and Dawn. Kim and I have been involved in their lives now for about 10 years. Long time. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right? And I remember some of those first meetings when we got together for dinner, and when you guys were meeting in the bank, in the basement here in the community room, and just what God has done in your midst. It's awesome to see. And so we rejoice. I come today rejoicing with you. But, you know, one of the things that I just want to commend Pastor Scott for addressing the issue this morning on the election, because so many churches stay silent on that stuff, and so many churches. Listen, we believe in a comprehensive Christianity. We believe in a Christianity that pertains to every area of life, okay? There isn't an area of your life that the Word of God does not apply to. There are some people who try to segment their faith and try to put it, you know, my faith fits over here, politics fits over here, my family fits over here, my relationships fit over here. No, your faith covers it all. There isn't anything your faith doesn't cover, doesn't touch, doesn't apply to. And so I just want to commend Pastor Scott for addressing it, because a lot of churches just don't. They just don't deal with it. And you know, part of it is we can look at the situation around us in our nation, and we can say, you know, really, it is on us, the church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, who just kind of ignores it. It just doesn't really even deal with it. So anyway, amen. I'm so thankful that you have a pastor that's bold like that. And we're the same way in our church. While I'm here today, they're making a presentation about the 10 different issues between the two candidates. So, and at any rate, because we want to go, when you go in the voting booth on Tuesday, you want to be informed. You don't want to go in there and get, well, what should I do here? What should I do? And by the way, there are a lot of very important local elections in the state of Michigan. Supreme Court in the state of Michigan, very important. State Board of Education, very important election coming up. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but in our public schools now, the State Board issued a guideline saying that bathrooms should be open to anybody depending on what they say they are on that particular day. That's something the State Board of Education is not, they're not forcing on schools, but they're basically saying that's our policy. It's just a matter of time for our public schools will be forced to do that. It's important who you vote for the State Board of Education. It really is. Find out where they believe, what they stand for, who your local state representative is, who your local offices are. I don't know if you have any school board elections coming up this year, but they're all important. They're all important. So I just encourage you to vote. Amen. All right. Enough with that. I'm going to talk this morning, and I prayed about this, and I just really felt like the Lord wanted me just to bring a word of a personal ministry to us today. One of the things that we, all of us, deal with in our lives, from time to time, in fact, maybe more than time to time, maybe a lot, is unforgiveness, and then unforgiveness that stretches into bitterness. You know what? Bitterness is something that will eat away at your soul if we allow it to. You know, we're talking about the election. There are people that are probably going to, no matter what the turnout's going to be, they're going to be bitter after it's all said and done. You may have had something happen to you 30 years ago that you still remember, and you still feel the pain of that. That's become a bitter thing to you. The Bible talks a lot about that bitter root. That don't let that thing grow into a bitter root. So I want to talk about that today, because I really believe as Christians that a lot of us, whether we acknowledge it or not, have these things inside of us that keep us from being all that God intends us to be. Because bitterness is like a snake wrapped around the core of your soul, that it really keeps you from being free in Jesus. And by the way, Jesus came to set us free. Amen? So we want to be free, and that's what I want to talk about today. So if you guys could put overhead up. My message this morning is conquering bitterness, and I want to start with one verse of scripture, Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. Don't worry about the wicked and envy those who do. I'm not going to really talk about that right now. I'm going to get into it so I understand. What is he talking about? Don't worry about the wicked. Aren't we supposed to be? Well, listen, I'm going to give you the answer here this morning. Listen, We must understand that God, and we talked this morning about God's sovereignty, that God is the one that not only is sovereign, he is our judge. He is the one that holds us to account. Okay, so that's one of the reasons that God calls us as Christians to offer forgiveness to everybody. Why? Because it's not our job to judge them. Amen? Are you with me? It's not our job to condemn them. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who condemns. He is the one, as Pastor said earlier, who can cast both body and soul into hell. He is the ultimate judge. And so God time and time again commands us in Scripture, listen, that's not our job. Release that to the Lord. Give it to whose job it is. So we need to offer forgiveness when the opportunity presents itself. If offenders receive and they repent of their sins and they openly are open to restoration, then the Bible instructs us to restore that relationship and to bring it back together. I think that's a good idea, amen? I don't think God intends us to be separated by our differences. After this election's over, there are going to be Christians that are from both sides of the spectrum. They're going to have to come back together. I'm really concerned, are we going to be able to do that? Are we really going to be able to do that? I believe, I have faith that we're going to be able to. It may take a little bit of time. But if there is forgiveness in our hearts and we don't let bitterness take root, it's going to happen. However, having said all this, there remain a lot of bitter people in the world today, and many of them are Christians. Angry, cynical, unappreciative of others, even a little bit of bitterness is bad. Even a little bit of unforgiveness is bad. It kills. It's like poison. It's tempting to fool around with it, but don't ingest it. Don't take it. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Can we put that one up there? A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. What are the reasons many people are sick today? Because they don't have a peaceful heart. Their hearts have been corrupted by bitterness, by envy, by anger, by jealousy. And those things in our hearts are like a cancer to our soul. And they keep us, if you will, sick and soul sick and unable to really enjoy the life wants us to have. If we become bitter, we must deal with it as soon as possible so it doesn't take us down. Now, I'm going to share this morning Psalm 73. And the author of Psalm 73 is a man by the name of Asaph. Most people think David wrote all of the Psalms. He didn't. He wrote most of them. But there's a fellow named Asaph that wrote several of them too. And in Psalm 73, he shared his story and battle with bitterness. This psalm is really interesting to wrestle with and timeless in a solution that it offers. See, Asaph was looking around him and he was looking at the enemies of Israel and he was looking at all the evil people and he was saying, they seem to be prospering. They seem to be having their way, Lord, and all the righteous people seem to be struggling, seem to be suffering, seem to be hurting. What's going on here? And in that psalm, he comes to a conclusion, and God gives him the answer. So how do we beat bitterness? How do we keep it at bay and not allow it to take control of our souls? Well, I'm going to give you about 5 points today. Number one, wait for God's justice and trust his providence. God is just. He will deal with your enemies. Are you with me? He will deal with those who have hurt you. Now, let me start by reading what Asaph said in the first part of the psalm. He's speaking out of his heart, and he's speaking out of a wounded heart here. He's saying, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. Do you ever have those feelings in your heart? How come those people are prospering and we're not? I mean, we're supposed to be the righteous, and they're the wicked, and they're prospering. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have any troubles like other people. Well, number one, we don't know that. We don't know what kind of troubles they may be having. But on the outside, it may look like they're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut through the earth. I would say that Asaph is an angry guy. He's having problems with these folks. He's looking at them, and he's saying, they're help, they're prideful. They wear it around their neck like on the neck. They're fat cats. They have everything their hearts could desire, and they scoff at God. Maybe we know some people like that today. Maybe we know some people in our family, our friends, or whatever, that seemingly everything seems to be going okay for them, and yet they end up not even being a lover of God. They boast against the very heavens. That means they boast against God. And their words strut through the earth. Their prideful words, their arrogant words, their anti-God words. Now, the more Asaph thought about it, the angrier he got. Look at verse 13. Can we put that up there? Verse 13. Just keep going. Hopefully it's on there. Yeah, there it is. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? Now he's questioning, I've done all this, God, for you. I have kept myself pure. I have kept myself holy. I worship you. Have I done all that for nothing? You ever wonder that? You ever really think that? I mean, why am I doing all this when it doesn't seem to be benefiting me? Well, that's pretty self-centered, isn't it? But that's where Asaph is at right now. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? He's angry. He's frustrated. Let me give you a revelation this morning. You will be treated unjustly in your life. More than once. More than once. It might be a regular thing. If you work for an unjust boss, if you work for an unjust company, if you have somebody that's unjust, if you have some system that you're in that's unjust. Injustice is part of living in the human sinful condition. You will be treated poorly. It's just how we deal with it that whether we get bitter or better. That's a trite saying, but it's how we deal with the injustice that makes the difference. Esau, for example, some biblical examples. Esau, you remember him? He became bitter. He was one bitter man. Even though he had a valid point, because, yeah, his dad did favor his brother. He had a valid point. Yeah, that nasty brother of mine, that little brother of mine, his dad's favor. Yeah, he was angry about that. But he handled it the wrong way. Look at Hebrews 12 with me, verse 15. It says, look after each other. That's talking to us as the church, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Bitterness is a poisonous root. When you eat a poisonous root, you get sick. Bitterness is that poisonous root. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. The author of Hebrews here says that Esau got bitter about it, and then when it finally came time for him to turn, it was too late. You know, there is a time where it's too late for us. That's after we die. If we carry that bitterness with us, and we after we die and we ask God, it's too late at that point. We have to make that decision here in this life to forgive and to receive forgiveness. What did Esau do? He married foreign women. He vowed to kill his brother. He brought tremendous grief to his parents. Look at Genesis 27, verse 41. From that time on, Esau hated Jacob. This is after Jacob deceived him because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. You ever notice that sometimes that bitterness starts developing into a desire for revenge? And you start thinking, how am I going to get even in this situation? How am I going to get back at that person? Genesis 28, Esau knew that his father Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Padan Aram to find a wife, and that he had warned Jacob, you must not marry a Canaanite woman. He also knew that Jacob had obeyed his parents and gone to Padan Aram. And now it was very clear to Esau that his father did not like the local Canaanite women. So Esau visited his uncle Ishmael's family and married one of Ishmael's daughters, just because he knew that it would really tee off his dad. That it was just something his dad couldn't stand. So he did it on purpose, in addition to the wives he already had. His new wife's name was Mahalath. She was a sister of Nebaioth. I'm not pronouncing that right, Pastor Scott, I'm sorry. And the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. I know, I had to mess those up, one way or another. When we are treated unjustly, we will be strongly tempted to become bitter, and we will be strongly tempted to want revenge. Ask yourself right now, and I'm going to ask you, is there an area of your life where you're still focused on the past? or you're still focused on something that was unjustly done to you, or you were treated wrongly, or you were wronged per se, and does that thing still come up in your memory on a regular basis? If you can say yes to that question, then I would say you probably are struggling with bitterness. You're probably struggling with that memory. The answer is to turn it over to God. The answer is to turn it over to God. Let's go back to Psalm 73, verse 17. This is what Asaph finally did. You remember, he's angry. He's saying, God, have I stayed pure for nothing? Have I done all this for nothing? This is what follows that passage, verse 17. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. So what did he do? He worshiped and prayed. He got in the Word of God, and he understood there is a judge in heaven. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. He came to a self-realization that he was bitter. He was a bitter man. He was torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. And those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. Here's the thing that Asaph did. He got into the sanctuary of the Lord. He understood the greatness of God. He understood the word of God. And he said, as for them, you know what? They're going to be responsible for what they did, but I know that I belong to God now and I'm loved. And secondly, I can trust God. He's got my back. Are you with me on this? God has got your back. Now, a lot of people say, well, that doesn't happen. I haven't seen that happen. How do you know? How do you know what those folks are going through? How do you know that God is? So now, here's the good news. God is wooing them to the cross. God is with his prevenient grace, is calling them into a relationship with Jesus. He's calling them to be forgiven. He's calling them to be healed. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that it is not his will that any should perish. But the fact of the matter is, some people do reject God and some people do perish, and there is an ultimate judgment. And God will take care of that. We aren't given that freedom. Our job at that point is to turn those things over to the Lord and let him have them. Are you with me? Now, is that easy to do? No. No. Sometimes it's very difficult to do. That's why you have to go in the sanctuary of the Lord to get it done. That's why you have to get alone with God to get it done. That's why you can't do it by thinking about it. The more you think about it, the angrier you get. You have to pray about it. You have to release it to God. You have to give it over to him and turn it over to him for his mercy, his judge, his grace. Whatever he decides to do in that situation is okay with me, amen? Because he is God and I am not. And he can handle it. And I can go on. Here's the great deal. I can go on and live my life. And I can be free, and I can walk in the freedom that God gives me. I don't have to be walking around waiting for an opportunity to have revenge, waiting for an opportunity to get even with that person or with that situation. I know that God is going to handle it. He's going to take care of it. God is just. He will not ignore injustice. Look at Proverbs 24 with me. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't envy the wicked, for evil people have no future. The light of the wicked will be snuffed out. That's something God does. We don't. If they don't turn to God, their light is going to be snuffed out. Evil people have no future. They may think they have a future. They may think they've got things cornered. They may think they have things all figured out. But in reality, there is no future beyond this life for them. And there is much more than this life that's out there. Amen. We have to come. We live in the reality of eternity, not in the reality of just this life. Are you with me? Now, this is one of the reasons why I believe we have to be careful how we forgive as well, because sometimes we want to We want to distance the pain without turning it over to God. And I'm here to say, I don't think that's even possible. Where when you get hurt, that you get maligned or you get abused or whatever happens to you, and I'm not minimizing anything that may have happened to you in your life, but we take that thing and we kind of distance ourselves emotionally from it without turning it over to God. I don't think you can do that. It's just still there. It's going to still be there. It has to be turned over to God. And so when we distance ourselves from our pain, we cannot distance ourselves from the justice of God, because he'll take care of it. He's got us covered. John Piper, theologian, writes this: "What I find in the New Testament is that one powerful way of overcoming bitterness and revenge is to have faith in the promise that God will settle accounts with our offenders so that we don't have to." Isn't that good news? You don't have to. You can release it to God, and he'll deal with that stuff. You don't have to walk around weighed down by bitterness, by pain, by envy, by jealousy, by the remembrance of that situation. God can wash it all and make it brand new. If we feel ourselves wrestling with bitterness, here's the remedy according to the Word of God. Focus more intently on the glory of God. Savor the sovereignty of God. Savor the fact that he is in charge. Don't doubt that God is committed to justice being done. Don't question that God will work all things together to good to those who love him. Romans 8:28. This year was a tough year for my brother Bob. He's a pastor as well, United Methodist pastor in central Pennsylvania. His wife passed away at 35 years. Last year she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And within 7 months, nine months, she had passed away. And the verse that my brother is now hanging on to is Romans 8:28. Because he's saying to himself, this doesn't make sense, God. This just doesn't make sense. I don't know how. And he's finding himself, his bitterness right now, if he doesn't watch it, can be directed toward God. Because God, why did you allow this to happen? But see, that's where faith comes in for we as Christians. Because that's where we have to trust God, that he can see the big picture for us. And that's where we have to take a step one day at a time and trust him with our future. God will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So we trust God, not what we see, but what we don't see. Amen? We trust him. We give it over to him. I've been talking a lot to my brother, and he's little bit by little bit. It's been 6 months now. He's getting a little better. It's been a slow process, but I'm confident, and he's confident. In fact, he believes. He said, you know, I don't see it now, but I know I'm going to see it one day. I know I'm going to understand this better one day. And if that day isn't until I get to heaven, that's okay too. Because then, you know, I heard the old saying, a lot of people have questions. You're going to stick them in your pocket and ask God when you get there. When you get there, you're going to take it out, tear it up, throw it away. Because all your questions are going to suddenly be answered. Amen? All right. So the first thing we do, we wait for God's justice and trust in his providence. We don't attempt to deal with it ourselves. We turn it over to God. Secondly, what we do is we talk to some wise people. We listen, we get some counsel. That's why we are in the body of Christ. Proverbs 19, verse 20, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. How many here want to be wise the rest of your life? Get all the instruction and counsel that you can. What if that instruction isn't follow the word of God? Well, then you reject that instruction and that counsel. You follow the instruction you get that's according to the word of God, but you get it as much as you can. Listen to wise people. That's why God's got you connected together as a body here, so that you can help each other out in your times of need. When bitterness begins to set in, listen, when we really, really get bitter, we lose the ability to think objectively. All of our thinking becomes poisoned by that outlook that we have of that situation. So seek out somebody to talk to. It's a real fight to overcome bitterness. You're gonna need some help, and that's what we're here for. Third, pursue God's blessing for yourself and those close to you. All right, so I've turned it over to God. I'm getting help. I'm getting counsel. And now, instead of pursuing that memory or pursuing just the bitterness of it, I'm going to pursue God's blessing. Not only for myself, but for my family. Look at Psalm 73, verse 15. Did I put that one up there? Yeah. If you had spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. What's going on here? Here, Asaph is saying, basically he's saying, I'm really glad I didn't speak this way to others, because I would have poisoned them. I would have hurt their faith. I would have taken them down in the gutter where I was with me. He said, so if I had spoken that way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. Why? Because I would have maligned your name in front of them. So here's what we do. When we speak out of bitterness, especially to others in our family, we actually hurt our family, because our family enters into our bitterness. That root, or a friend, or a church member. And when we begin to spread that stuff, it becomes a cancer, not only in us, but in others that we spread it to. And so what the Bible's saying here is, don't spread that. Be a blessing to your family, not a curse. You literally, when you are inviting people to enter into your business, your bitterness, you're inviting them to enter into something that isn't good. And it's actually going to hurt them. Look at Hebrews 12, 15 through 17. I've already read this, but it says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now, this letter was written to the entire church. When it says you here, that's plural, not singular. It's talking to the body. Don't make sure that that bitterness doesn't corrupt you, doesn't trouble you, doesn't enter in. I read a story as I was preparing for this week of a grandmother who had a daughter who had cancer, a mother and a daughter who had cancer, excuse me. And she was going to this particular church at this time. It was a Word of Faith church, and the pastor had a word of knowledge that the daughter was going to get healed. And the daughter died. And that mother, not only was she bitter against God, but she was bitter against the church because she got a false word. It was not a good word. It was a false word. But here's what she did. She now had custody of her daughter's children. She was now raising them, and she refused to take them to church because of her bitterness. And so she sought the counsel of a pastor who was not the pastor that gave that false word, but another pastor. And he said, you know, the pastor said, number one, that word never should have been given. But number two, not every church is like that. Not every pastor is like that. You are hurting your grandkids by not bringing them in to the Word of God. You need to deal with your bitterness so you don't infect your grandkids with that for the rest of their life. Now, she heard that word. She listened to it. She started coming back to church, bringing her kids back to church. God began the process of healing her. But sometimes we allow bitterness to have us make some decisions that we later on regret we ever made, and we end up hurting people because of it. Don't let that happen. Amen? And then finally, we need to call bitterness what it really is, and that is, it's sin. It's sin. Unforgiveness is sin. Bitterness is sin. That's why Jesus warned us so many times when he prayed, if you others have wronged, forgive them, release them. When he gave the Lord's Prayer, he said he gave us the model of, we forgive others, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. And then at the end of the prayer, he repeated again, if you don't forgive others from your heart, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Forgiveness is a big issue. In fact, I think personally that it is the biggest issue in the evangelical church, because there's a lot of people walking around with unforgiveness in our hearts. So we have to recognize what it is, and it is a sin against God. And sin is never justifiable, no matter what the circumstances may be, ever. We can't get in the business as believers of justifying sin in any way, shape, or form. So once we come to a realization of how serious it is, we can then deal with it. If we start to rationalize it, well, this isn't so bad. Everybody else is doing it. I know other people that are like that. Like, no, we need to come. What does the Word of God have to say about it? And then let's do according to what the Word of God says. Amen? All right. Let's bring this all together. Number one, Unforgiving hearts can and will become bitter. Guard your heart. Don't let it become bitter. Release it to the Lord. Second, bitter people are not fun to be around. They're not fun to be around. They're angry. They're resentful. They're cynical. They say a lot of things and do a lot of things that you just, after a while, you just start saying, I'd really rather spend my time someplace else. Don't be one of those people. Number three, here are the steps. Let's review. Turn it over to God. Just take that offense and turn it over to the Lord and let him be your healer. Let him be the judge, jury. Let him be the one who takes the action step. Secondly, listen to wise people. You have a lot of wives. You have a wise pastor and his wife here. Listen to them. You have a lot of wise life group leaders. Listen to them. Get counsel. Understand what God. Hey, talk to them about your situation. Sometimes the enemy conspires in silence. And so he gets you not to talk about it. He just gets you to stew about it instead of to talking about it. Get it out and talk about it. Listen to wise people. Pursue God's blessing for you and your family. How do you do that? You do it God's way. Next, call bitterness what it is, sin. Deal with it as a serious issue. And then finally, number five, continually release hurtful situations to the Lord. Listen, you are going to get hurt again and again and again. It's going to be something that is part of our life. Until we get to heaven, man, it's not going to happen anymore. Amen? But as we live in this sinful earth and we live with brothers and sisters who are also sinful, we're going to end up doing things to each other we didn't mean to do. We're going to cause offense. We're going to cause hurt. So deal with them and release them continually. Well, what if the same thing happens time and time again? One day, one of the disciples asked Jesus that very question. He said, what if my brother does it 9 times to me or 7 times to me? And Jesus said, well, you need to forgive him 7 times 70. That's 490 times. And he was talking in the context of one day. I think I figured it out one time. That's once in an average of like 44, 45 seconds. So Jesus' example there is ridiculous, but he was making his point. You forgive. You let it go. You deal with it. What if they ask me to forgive them? You forgive them, he said. Amen? One last slide. Conquer bitterness. We can. You don't have to walk around with bitterness in your soul anymore. You can walk around free. You can walk around free. And here's the deal. See, you're never going to be able to be all that God intended you to be. You may be extremely gifted of the Lord. You may have fivefold gifting. You may be a prophet. You may be a pastor, teacher. You may be a gifted in one way or another, but you're never going to be able to really fully live and work in that gifting if you have bitterness wound up in your soul. Because that eventually is going to come out in the way you treat other people. And in ministry especially, when we're ministering to other people, that can't happen because they just end up getting hurt. So we need to be free so we can really help others find freedom as well. Amen? Can you stand with me? I'd just like to have a little time of prayer right now. Just ask. I'd like to have you ask the Lord, okay, as after hearing this, are there any things in my life right now that, yeah, I know I'm still struggling with. Maybe it happened last week. Maybe it happened 25 years ago. But is it still there? Does it still bother me? Father, I pray right now. Lord, help us as believers to walk in every promise that you have for us. Some of us have been hurt deeply, wounded deeply. Some of us have been betrayed deeply. Some of us have had abusive things happen to us that never should have happened to any human being. And yet, God, you provide a way of healing and deliverance for all of us here. Lord, maybe we've been hurt in another church situation. Maybe we've been hurt by another believer. Maybe somebody's betrayed us. Maybe somebody's lied about us. Lord, whatever that offense may be, whatever has happened in our hearts, God, today is the day of deliverance. And Father, today, in this time, I release that situation to you, whatever it is. And for some of us here, it might be 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 100. It doesn't matter how many. Release it to the Lord. Give it to God because he is the one who's got your back. He is the one that loves you. He is the one that understands. Sometimes we, as Christians, will say, how does God understand? Well, God sent his own son to die on a cross. He understands betrayal. He understands pain. He understands losing a loved one. He understands everything we could ever imagine that is going on. He understands, and he can heal the pain. He can heal the hurt. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and just touch us. Just, Lord, as we release this to you, free us up. Free us up, God, that we might be all that you have created us to be, that we might walk in the fullness of the Spirit, walk in the fullness of your joy, walk in the fullness of forgiveness, Lord, that we know that we're forgiven, and because we're forgiven, we forgive others, and we release others, and we hold no bitterness. We hold those memories, and Father, I pray right now that you would come and wash those memories in the blood of Jesus. Lord, those things that continue to bug us, continue to show up in our dreams, to continue to show up in our thoughts, continue things that remind us, Lord, wash them in the blood of Jesus, that we might be washed whiter than snow, that we might be made clean and whole. Lord, that our minds would be whole, our spirits would be whole, our souls, Lord, would not be bound any longer, but instead we would be able to walk in freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, not be again subject to the yoke of slavery. Bitterness enslaves us. Be free in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.